The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Peter and Steve. You're all right, lads?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Pad, you there?
Sorry, just getting a coffee.
I was going to say, this thing's going on in the background. This is the life. We're listening. This is like one of those Radio 4 plays, you know, where there's Atmos in the background. Steve, how was your sort of quarantine disco last night? I was saying, Steve, you've got it down now, but you reckon it was the drink. That inane DJ banter, you know, that you can just talk about nonsense about yourself. You got that routine now, you know. It's taken weeks to get it, I think, but you're there, you know.
Thanks, yeah. Well, you know, I couldn't get it when I was actually doing it for a living, so I thought I'd master it now.
Yeah, but you reckon it was down the Mr. Alcohol was helping you along, is that okay?
Yeah, well, I've only just woken up, and I started on half a bottle of rum. That's gone, and there's another half a bottle almost gone. So I must have done almost a bottle of rum last night, which actually is quite surprising, because I feel okay.
I was a dramatically better radio presenter when I was drunk.
Yeah.
That realisation hit me quite early, and I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, isn't it illegal to be in charge of a broadcast microphone while you're under the influence?
I don't think it is. I think it's frowned upon in the BBC and
things. Well, frowned upon. It's illegal. It's actually illegal. You can't be under the influence in charge of a broadcast station, can you?
I don't believe that.
You were on fire last night, though. You were getting steadily more and more drunk. But do you remember the whole squirrels thing?
Oh, yeah. God, I went off a bit on that, didn't I?
Yeah, for like about a 5 or 10 minute period, you seemed to be having a kind of... an argument with the squirrels in your garden, kind of forgetting you were also streaming live.
That's good, though. Just a stream of consciousness. That kind of stuff is good. And it keeps the thing going. Before, when you first started, Steve, you were concentrating on the music and you stopped sort of chatting away there. But now you are literally, it's now chat with a bit of music, which is rather than music, a bit of chat.
And argue. Squirrels.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually forgot about. That's going to be a bit of a cringe watching that bit back.
Yeah. We watch it back.
Well, yeah.
Wow. Get his numbers up. Right. Ooh, couple more views. Yeah. Anyway, is it me?
The podcast just.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? Is it exactly? I get everyone to listen to it. Is it me? Right? Has the world gone a bit mad? I mean, 2020, I know everyone said 2020 is... now, you know, America's on fire. There's Donald Trump saying people are going to get shot. And he's now withdrawn funding from the World Health Organization. He's just, yesterday, just tweeted out one word, China, in capital letters with an exclamation mark at the end. Let's be honest, he's the president. China! That's all he tweeted. And is there a case now we're just desensitised to his nonsense? But even that, sometimes, I always check to see if it's a parody account. Yeah. I always check. And it's not a parody account. It's just Trump. Do you know what? In fact, there is a parody account of Trump that's quite good. But sometimes it's not as good as him. And, he is a lot funnier than the parody account. I mean, another one worth following is Alan Sugar, Lord Sugar. He's hilarious, isn't he? How thick can you be? But I said, who's the thickest billionaire you know on Twitter? Because there's a competition there, Trump and Alan Sugar. Because Alan Sugar said, I've started collecting miniature instruments. This little guitar is made out of wood. And I thought, what? and then he said recently, it just proves, it's inspiring, really. Because you think, these guys are billionaires and they've made it. Maybe they have no self-editing, you know? So that drive, ambition, they don't self-check themselves.
Wealth creators, Justin.
And insane creators as well. But listen, so Alan Sugar did this thing.
He's got the rattle. What's that?
I know, Steve, why have you got a rattle?
He's about 3 years old.
What rattle? Can't hear a rattle.
As you're moving, you've got a rattle snap.
Oh, right. Sorry, yeah, it's probably the cable, sorry.
How long is the cable? Hang on, are you attached to your DJ booth?
No.
Are you still there? You had your virtual glasses on last night, Steve, like Timmy Mallet glasses.
Yeah.
I bet they come from Amazon, did they?
I don't know, we had them for a rave last year, and I thought, you know, be as I kind of rebranded it like a summer thing, I thought I'd put some glasses on.
A rave? How old are we and what decade are we in?
A rave.
I know. Anyway, definitely Lord Sugar. He did this thing, no, one day he did this thing where he didn't, someone said, "It's today's a famous day. It only happens once in every 1,000 years or something." He said, "Everyone's birthday is the same date." He said, "If you take away your age, or add your age to your date of birth, year,
yeah,
it'll be, add up to 2020. And he went, "Wow, yeah, strange, but true." He retweeted that. Yeah, Alan, you're just adding your age to your date of
birth.
I know, that's just math. And he was like, he thought it was really impressive. And people can say, you've got to delete this, Alan. He said, "You're blocked." It just made me laugh. It was so simple. Anyway, and he's a billionaire. It's amazing.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because it makes you go, how is he a billionaire? And then you look at Trump and go, how is he the leader of the free world? And it's the beginning of the end, isn't it?
I think it's
just... We're absolutely doomed.
Yeah, but I think it's this ego thing, isn't it? No self-check, no self-editing. They don't have that part of
them. That's not a great role model, is it? It's not a great example to set to generations below. It's just nuts. It's almost like, it doesn't matter what you do or how you present yourself or how much you know or how much you don't know. It doesn't matter. Just crack on and charge on and, see what happens.
Okay, so the stock market this week, it's just starting to roll over. Every time this happens, we have a sell-off on a Friday, starts to feel it's not a rollover because, there is a mismatch, as they say, from the difference between Wall Street and Main Street. Main Street is the real economy, or Wall Street is stock market. But do you know what? It was nice. Someone thanked me this week, saying, "Thanks for bringing Powerhouse Energy to my attention, share pickers. Thanks for that. I'm now 460% up." I thought, I'm not. Nice. I sold at a loss. So it was a bittersweet thank you. And then
I
sold.
Were you deadheading at that time?
Yeah, well, no, that was a long time back.
Sounds like a deadhead.
To be honest, I could have held
on to that.
Yeah, and I could have held on to that for ages, couldn't I? And it would have gone nowhere. Yeah. Every now and again.
I could have had it, and it definitely wouldn't have gone anywhere.
But every now and again, you have this in microcap stocks. You will get. It happened again to me. Plant Healthcare, which is one of my three I picked up recently. Now, one of the categories I look at, right, when I'm looking at these pre-revenue section stocks, is I need it to be within 12 months of generating revenue. And that's one of the tick boxes. And like Plant Healthcare were that, and then they had COVID came along, and they stopped, sort of conveniently dropped mentioning break even. And I thought, hang on. And one of their big markets is Brazil. And of course, Brazil are really having a big problem with COVID-19, so the orders and that. So it's all been delayed. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to come out of this. And Planned Healthcare was up 90% in one day. I thought, excellent. I sold that literally a week and a half ago. And I was about 40% down. So I'd been up, though, close to. And even with those rises, right, I don't regret that. I don't think, I think... I'm a little bit annoyed I missed out. Of course. Everyone wants a multi-bagger. Of course they do. But you've got to have a strategy anyway, And if you don't, just sail aimlessly along. And I think, I said for you now, what I'm going to do on the weekend, and I'm going to concentrate more. If you look at the sections in my portfolio, I'm now going to go for 12-month targets. And that'll help your entry price, because you realise you have to work upwards and look at the share price. That's why I sold AutoTrader this week. My target for big cap stocks are 30%, right? For growth companies are 60 now, and for the pre-revenue ones are 90% within 12 months, right? They could do more than that. That's my initial targets. Now, when I enter these companies now, I'll look, say, can it visibly do that amount? If you look at AutoTrader, all-time high is £6. It's already 33% up when I just sold at 5.50, and we are in a downturn. And I thought, it's just 50 pence away from its all-time high. I've hit my target. I'm taking my money out. I don't think it can go much further. It's not going to get another... I don't think it'll get another 5, 10% out of it, or 20%. It won't do that much. And there's no point hanging on to it. So I've pulled my money out, and from now on in, that's what I'm going to do. Now, if you look at Greggs, for example, if we want 30% on that, that's going to get up to £24, which is not far from its all-time high. So how fast is it going to do that? I don't know. Is it going to do it soon? Maybe not. So what I said, either we exit it now and get an entry lower in, or we average down when it comes down, bring our average down.
The big stocks, generally the FTSE as a whole kind of crashed 30%, didn't it, over on Corona? So I know that's then a 50% markup on that to get back to where it was. Yeah. And it was kind of riding high, wasn't it? So you would have needed to buy, you know, right, well, close to that bottom to actually get then the 30% that you're talking about to get to, I don't know. So it's
yes,
like,
yes. And do you know what?
It's not the time to buy now, is it? So it's, yeah, we've kind of missed it and on some of those stocks anyway.
That sell-off we had, right, in March was the fastest, it's probably the, one of the fastest sell-offs we'll ever encounter. Ever. It's the fastest bear market in history. We'll never be in a stock market crash that fast.
Well, never say never.
You know, well, it could happen, yeah. I mean, with all the debt piling up right now, we're in a bit of trouble, really. But but it's almost like saying, when you get some of that, looking back at it now, hindsight is a wonderful thing, I know, but you should have just bought. Everything's sold up. You should have bought, because everything has bounced from there. Everything. Because there's almost...
And then didn't use the cash.
Say again.
Instead, I just got into cash before it and then didn't use the cash.
Yeah. No, but
looking back on it, insane.
Yeah, exactly. But I do believe... Well, do you know what? And that brings up a sort of survey. I said, at the time, about a week after that, and the FTSE was at... I don't know where it was at. It was like about 52, something like that. I said, where do you see the FTSE in a month's time? Higher or lower? The majority of people said lower, because we're all quite bearish after sell-off, you know? We're all a bit worried. When you think about it, the odds, the probability is, it's going to be higher, really, because we just had a massive crash. Now, I've redone that survey a month later, and I said, where's the FTSE going to be now from here? And people are all saying higher in a month's time. Well, the majority are, and that's because people are a bit more bullish. So really, it's a contrarian, you know, indicator. So when people are feeling, and that's why when you look at people now in cash, there's too many people in cash. This market's not going to go down if people are too... bearish, you know, people have to be invested. The last person has to have bought, and then because basically there's so much money sitting on the sidelines from, you know, institutions and all that stuff. I don't think we'll ever see a proper correction again until people start buying into the rally. If you get some good figures or better figures that convince people, oh, it's time to start getting in, recovery's here, and then that's when you probably have a big correction. Because you'd have the people that bought, maybe they dip or bought up higher, or whatever, you know, a certain level will get out. And so we need that thing.
So here's my question to you. Had you, bought, you know, more extensively in the doldrums there in like March, April time when it was down, if you bought in there, would you now be selling, like selling out? Would you now, because you've made your 30%, you've made your, or more, or whatever, you know, you've actually made some money on those stocks we're talking about. Now, in theory, based on what you're saying, you would be selling out.
Yeah, that's the way to be, you see. Because do you know what? It's buy low,
but
sell
then,
high.
Then where does it go from there? So you'd be more in cash.
I'm still in cash at the moment, so I think we're going to roll over. But who knows? But this is the thing. I was looking at, again, what am I hoping to get from the market? Because a lot of problems is this. We lose money, essentially, if we hold on to a stock too long or our entry is wrong, right? That can be corrected straight away. By having a target price. If you try and work upwards and say, right, when am I wrong on this? When do I get out? You know. And so if you put a stop loss in, say, for big stocks, 10%, maybe, if it, on a critical level, you see a good support level there. And if you look at some charts, you can see where they are. You know, it bounce and say, okay, if it goes 10% below that, it's probably going to go a lot lower because that's a critical support level. So you put 10% there, risk ratio is 3-1. So, you know, on a big cap stock, you want 30% or 10% down and you're out. And so if you put that stop loss in, automatically, you'll save yourself the pain of having a dead head later on, a stock that's never going to recover. You know, obviously, it doesn't happen so much in big cap stocks, but in small caps, for example, if you see a good support level and it hitting a couple times, okay, and a small cap is a bit more volatile, I'd say 15-20% stop loss maybe, and put it in there, that'll save you. You'll never go below 20% on a stock. Now, wouldn't you, some of the stocks you have right now, wouldn't you love to think that? I wish I'd done that. Because, you know, and the upside
this is,
then...
This is good advice.
Yeah, and your upside then is like, if you go for upside of 90% on a small cap stock and look at it properly, is it okay, well, or 60%, for example, if you do a 3-1 ratio, so 20% down is the maximum you lose, but you want to get 60% more. Even if you get 60%, for example, or 9%, don't automatically sell. Look at the news, look at the chart. If it isn't oversold, if it's just broken through a new level, it could go further than that, but... You imagine wanting to go up, say initially buy, and it goes up by 20%. Straight away, put a stop loss in, you know, just above where you bought or way around where you bought, including costs. And then you can't lose money on that stock, full stop. You can't
but
lose
with
money.
With your approach of buying three tranches, I thought it was buy, and then if it drops 10%, buy again, and then drops 10%, buy again. But now you're saying at 20%, you'd actually have
I think the initial, at the moment, I do that, but no, it's not always 10%.
But how does that work with the stop loss?
It's not always 10%. It's not always 10%.
It's like buy, and then sell.
Selling shares I haven't bought yet.
Buy and sell.
Buy and sell at the same time.
No, buy, load up, don't sell that. I'll take a big hit, then sell. No. So what was this? Right, you know, in shooting,
analogy alert.
hey, here we go. Analogy alert. Woo. Okay, in shooting, right? If you're a marksman there, shooting target or any crossbow, or anything, whatever you use. I imagine Steve to be a crossbow man. You know, a crossbow there, you shoot one initially, or in fact, a rifle, a long distance rifle, marksman. You'll shoot target, and that's a marker, isn't it? The first one is to work out what the rifle's like. Are the sensors off a bit? Do you need to go to the left a little bit? It's a marker. So that first initial buy should be a good level anyway. This is a good level to buy. I can see my upside here, 30%. That should be an initial mark on the sand. You know exactly on the target where it is. And it'll move around a little bit. And then, you know, when you've got momentum or it comes back a bit, the momentum comes back, then you... So it's not automatically 10% down, the second one. That's why at the moment, I'm not going to risk any more of my capital in Greg's or Barrett Development until I see a bounce on a previous level, for example, or it go in the right direction. At the moment, they're not. Greg's needs to come down a bit. It's in the no man's land. I'm not going to chuck another 10% in for no reason. So you've got to see some kind of momentum and direction going your way, you know? You have to play it by ear on charts, really, but it's not automatically 10% drop.
But I think it's just that having that automated approach of that, right, 20% stop loss, yeah, it makes sense. But at the same time, I know I've had stocks where, yeah, I've got in too early. It's probably dropped 20%, but then has recovered. I'm still in, and they've got, and then it's turned into profit and moved on, and I've actually done well out of it.
Let's say one thing, though. If you do average down on 10% drop, three trades, right? And the share price is then down 19%. If you've averaged down, you're only 10% down. You know, on a volatile stock. So, you know, you can still, but then again.
Oh, no, so you're talking about a trailing stop loss that then moves down.
Not trailing, no. You can't.
So 20% from where you originally bought?
Yeah.
Where are we taking the 20% from?
I see,
is it from the final total or the first? What? I'm lost.
Yeah, and then you take
the one of the reasons why I use this scaling model, right, is because your initial purchase is normally the worst. Normally, because you've researched the stock, you're quite excited about it, and you jump in, sometimes chase the price. And I did it last week, you know. I bought with Manolet Partners. I made a silly mistake. And I'm even going to have to get out of that. But it's a contrarian. It rallied yesterday when the stocks were down. It was down when the other stocks were up yesterday because it's a litigation, same with Tristel. They're a contrarian play, so I don't mind holding them because I know they won't go down when the other market goes down. But your first purchase is normally the worst, the most ill-judged. And that's why I use a scaling model, and that's why you're only risking a third of what you are going to fully invest in it, because that's the riskiest part. Once you get that right, and you can see the share price is not going to just drop off a cliff, or, you know, it's building slowly, then you can, you know, on little dips, when that RSI is in the right direction, you can top up again and risk further capital. Because once you're in, that capital is at risk, you know, once you're in. Well, yep. If you're not in, it's not. So that's why I say it's good. Scaling is good for several reasons. Not just chuck it all in and see a price go up. Especially with small cap stocks. It's harder with bigger. But with small cap stocks, they're very volatile.
This 20% stop loss thing, I agree, is a good thing in theory. And looking back in hindsight, you look at some of your stocks and go, yeah, we should go out then. But I'm just thinking, where are you setting that level? I'm still not quite clear on that, really.
No, never mind.
At what point do you say that 20% from now?
No, listen.
I like that. Yeah, nor am I.
No, so I'm thinking, if things aren't going your way, for example, right, let's say, what is there a stock you've been in, for example, it's rallied a little bit, right, and then all of a sudden it's gone nuts, gone further. For example, we're Pad.
Nope, never had that ever.
No, when you first bought C4X, and every stock I bought has gone straight to the moon. Pad, C4XD, a good example of one you're in deep pain. You're never going to get out of that now. So you've got a dead head. You just say, it's just sitting there anyway. It's worthless. I'm just holding on to it until I die. I will not give it up until they put me in the coffin.
It's up 17% yesterday.
Up 17%. And how much are you down on that still?
81%.
Right, so at what point...
It ended the day down, didn't it?
Yeah, but
at what point when you bought that stock did you think, oh, this is not going to plan? At what point did you think, man, let me cut my loss?
The day after.
I think the big loss...
Yesterday.
The big came with one bit of news, though, didn't it? Mm. There was two. There was like one right at the start just after I bought it, and then they did that ridiculous fundraise where they were like 2p or something when they were actually... 60p.
Yeah, well, that's it. You bought. What did you buy?
It'd been hard to have got a stop loss in there to stop that madness.
No, did you buy? You know, you bought like this time last year, didn't you? Or 2008? Even a while, you know.
Yeah, about 2 years, I think.
Yeah, so it was. I remember it shot up. Right, I'm looking at the chart here. It shot up in March 2018. It shot up to like almost 140. And then the price at the time was around about 80 pence, 70 pence, and won a fortune on that deal they did. Then it went up, and it came back down, and then it was that level there, about 90 pence, where it hung around at. Then it broke lower there, right? Like, if you look at a chart, you can see there's a line where you think, okay, if it goes 10% below that, it's probably going to go lower. Especially
it's
small
like PTSD.
Yeah. But
I remember that day.
Yeah, so when it breaks down to that level, you know straight away, do you know what? If it goes below that, I've got to put a stop loss in, you know? Especially with the... But also, now, looking back at it, C4XD, and I said to you a long time back, listen, they're a long way off cash generation, they're going to be losing money for a long time, they're burning a lot of cash, if how you get out. That company now would not make it through my filter at all. So... You know, that kind of thing is not going to happen. And also, that kind of placing situation, that wouldn't make it through my filter either. So my filter one, you know, you've got to have a company that can have 12, can have money taking the cash generation. So that would never happen. So, you know, to a certain extent. But then if it does break down...
I just wish they'd talk about what they're doing.
We've asked them to come on the podcast. Loads of Clive Dix.
What, 10 drugs they've got in development?
Well, Clive Dix is the CEO of C4XD, right? We've asked him to come on. He's quite nice on him. Yeah, I'll get the guys to get that sorted. Come on. I said, you know, you got a lot going on there. They just don't come on. I thought, well, they don't believe in it. And he, to be honest, he bought, you know, a big chunk of shares at around about a quid odd, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Above a quid.
Yeah. And he's done it before, hasn't he? He's done well.
Yeah.
He's done, got a good track record.
So they're clearly confident in what they're doing, but they're just not telling anyone. So that's why the share price just keeps on. I mean, it's had some momentum the last week or so, but... I wonder whether that's just down to people chatting on Twitter.
Yeah, so but if you look at that filter, though, I'll go through it. You wouldn't have bought into this company, and I wouldn't have bought into it. Now I've changed. You've got to evolve. Like I said, what goes wrong? I'm looking at things, what can go wrong in small-cap stocks? And I've basically built that into that filter, saying, is this company, do they keep mentioning they're going to be generating cash within 12 months? Do they have enough money to get up to that milestone? Because that way you won't be, you know... sideswiped by a discounted placing coming along when they've got plenty of cash. They don't need it, you know? Like, so now, you know, for example, Salt Lake Potash, right? They're going to be generating and producing in Q1. They've just raised 20 million. They've also got about 70 million anyway, 37 million they've got. That'll take them through. The only... Tony was on the podcast yesterday. Oh, Tony, you all right? Sritchik. His name is it's like a Polish kind of, it's got, you know, all different vowels and consonants in it, you know. But I said, how do you say it?
Right, that's like most of us.
Yeah, but no, it seems, I know, it's like Welsh, you know, there's too many consonants in there, you know, too many right. Consonants stuck together that don't seem to make any sounds. They're just stuck in your throat. Or they're stuck in your throat. And I said, how do you say that, Tony, when I first started chatting to him? He said, you know, Sir Richard Branson? I said, yeah. He said, it's like that. Sir Richard, but ick in the end rather than id. Sirichik. So everyone's saying that, I think it's Richard Branson. Tony Sirichik. Yeah. But anyway, listen, if you look at that team, right, that ticks every filter. I went through 9 filters, didn't I, on that video I did of them, and it ticked every single box. I mean, the only, I said, thing that's hanging over now is the debt funding for the rest of the construction works. But Tony said in the podcast, that's going to probably be done before the end of June. And they're in final terms agreements. It's all been ticked off. It's fine. It's all good to go.
Yeah.
It's going to be happening very soon. But everything in that, they had money. They were going to generate in cash within 12 months. It was in a good jurisdiction. The team had got skin in the game. They've all done it before. Fortescue, if you look at Fortescue sort of at the company, it's a big multi-billion company. He spent 10 years at building that. He got 35 employees now from there. in Salt Lake Potash. He said, we're going to do the same. He said, I want to build, do the same. So I want to build a multi-billion-pound company. Because we got the upside, we got the projects, they're all there, nine lakes, you know, in Australia, very close together, all very similar sort of, you know, geographies and all that stuff. And the first one, once we get that cash flow up and running, it's a lot easier then to multi-open. He said he's going to multi-open other ones. So you'll do the first one, Lakeway, which is going to produce around like 60 million free cash flow a year. And then he said, you won't need debt funding for the others because you just go off cash flow. Just two projects is a 10-bagger, pretty much.
What was the reason it dropped down? Because like, this time last year, it was much higher than where it is now.
Well, they've done a couple of placings, and I think there's been a delay on funding. They drew some more funding down. They've already got funding from the tourist fund is the people they're arranging with them. They've already... there's two stages to debt funding. The first bit was to get works up and running to do test samples from Lakeway. They've done that, all that. They need a bit more. And then it just raised some more cash. And obviously, I think, again, it's this thing, isn't it? Right now, we have that massive milestone of generating cash and production starting Q1, right? That's a huge milestone. That's coming to water. It's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, if you have a company where that's not going to happen until 2 years' time, there's room for a heck of a lot of volatility in the share price, isn't it? For placings and all that stuff. And that's why I say that. If you're looking at pre-revenue companies, you know, make sure they've got that line in the sand. They've mentioned in some of their, you know, it's in their presentations, you know, timeline-wise, cash generation right here in this within 12 months. Otherwise, they can keep going on diluting. This is what's happened to C4XD. They keep diluting. They'll keep doing that. That's why you get the share price pop up, come back down, because it's not sustainable. And that's why I say that pre-revenue company or the loss-making companies you invest in have to be generating real value. You're buying an asset, you know? And assets grow when they generate cash. Obviously, your cash balance goes up. That's a current asset. It grows. The asset goes up. That means the share price or the valuation of the company is based on that asset growing. It's a sustainable rise. When you're a company, and I did this in the video, releasing news that they've just done a test, for example, some of this, or they've just done some kind of scoping study, and now this project could be worth this. That's not generating any real value. It's like the share price will go up based on that. It'll come back down because they've actually spent money. Their assets have gone down, liabilities have gone up because they've spent money generating that scoping study. And yet, to get money out of that project is years down the line. But three, four years down the line. So it's the difference between, you know, like I said, investing in a pop and drop or investing in a company like, you know, for Boom or JD Sports that will generate 5 years or give a mining analogy. Anglo-Asian Mining, which is a gold producer, when I did that filter, the best performing 10 stocks the last 5 years, Anglo-Asian Mining were in that. They were on the podcast a while back, and they've done they've gone from like 4 pence 6 years ago to 160. And do you know what? It's had a bit of volatility, but you can see it's basically gone upwards. It's not have any spikes up and down, you know? So that's what you want, sustain.
So I think I totally agree with you, and you know, I've learned a lot in the last few years, and I agree. I'm now only going into companies where there is a definite kind of, not definite, but you know, a much higher chance of success and less kind of hype and kind of pre-revenue, you know, mystery. It's more of a clear plan. But with something like, I'm still in C4XD. You know, it accounts for about 0.5% of my portfolio now. It was, you know, 2%, 3% of my portfolio, but it's now 0.5%. So as we've said before, I'm okay with it. Just sat there in the corner. If it dies, it dies. If it then has a crazy day and I get somewhere back to break even, that'd be hilarious. But I'm not that bothered about it. But I've learned from that and I keep it there as a reminder. And I won't go into a company like that again. I'll go into Salt Lake Potash and things like that. Absolutely. But I'm okay with having C4XD just sat in the corner of my portfolio.
Yeah.
I like it there. It's really inspiring.
Yeah. I know, it'd be like...
Daft uncle comes around at Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah, your daft uncle's coming around at Christmas. He told you about an investment scheme that he's lost you loads of money in. Yeah. Here he comes. What happens is you've gone past the point of falling out with him and hating him, and then in the end you've sort of forgotten about it. He just sort of comes around, you know. He's had a couple of Christmases where no one's spoken to him and you're not inviting him around. He's come around again now. And, I'm never. You're resigned to the fact. What's that curve? It's like the adjustment curve of denial, then it's anger, then it's denial, then it's acceptance, then it's depression. No, there's depression, then acceptance at the end. So you've gone through all that curve. Yeah. I can't believe we lost that money in that. And they go, it goes back up now. So no. First of all, you've got denial, isn't it? No way have I lost that money. No way. And then you go, I've lost the money, haven't I? In anger then. And then you go, never mind, it's only one stock. I got other money there, I've got other things to do. Okay, listen, it's fine. And it just goes through that level of acceptance. But essentially, you know, you could have saved yourself that entire trip, couldn't we, if we'd used a bit of stop loss there. Like I said, when it went down past a certain level. I mean, I'm not talking about maybe automating it, but I just generally use a mental stop loss, you know. I mean, if something doesn't go to plan, I'll just cut it. And that's it. I don't want any more pain. I just cut it. Yeah. I don't want to see it dwithering. You know, deadhead it.
But you're sat in front of it every hour of every day. Yes. I think a lot of these have happened on days where I've just been busy doing other things. Absolutely. And by the time you check back in 2 days later, you're down 60%, and you're like, oh, right, wow, it's too late now.
Yeah. So then you need to put in for now on in, right? First of all, look through those filters. Whenever you're investing in a company, look at those filters I've got there, filter one on the spreadsheet, and see if it conforms to most of those. The financing is absolutely... And generating cash, I think, of course, a lot of people have made money recently on companies that are loss-making, yes, because they've just gone nuts, these COVID stocks and stuff. Are they sustainable? I don't know if they are. I genuinely think most of them will be, won't be, because you'll have big players coming in like Roche, you know, or AstraZeneca and Glaxo, churning out these tests. They'll be basically, mouth tests, antibody mouth tests, you just put in your mouth. A couple of seconds later, you'd be done. And they'll take it over because they got the ability, the resources, and cash to churn out millions of them a day. Some of them may be winners, though, you know. But again, that's very far and few and far between. If you need to get a strategy that's going to work, and basically put probability on your side, and that's it. And that's why you avoid things like, you know, oil and gas, exploration, because very low chance of success there. Wildcat drills, clinical trials, very low chance of success there. You know, why put yourself in front of that kind of odds? It's like, you know, we got Polarion. It's stage three. They're going to be, if they pass now next year, they're going to be profitable, start making profit, right? Mm. But they've gone through clinical trials, and it wasn't a risky clinical trial anyway, because they weren't testing the drug. That's the problem with clinical trials. It's the drug, and how it works on people is the unpredictable part. Now, with Polarion, it was a machine and drug combination. But the drug was xenon gas, which is very stable, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect humans. But so that's why they had to go through that trial. So, but yet that's going to be very, it's a 10 packet pretty much. It could be if it goes through the thing. But do you know, odd thing about coronavirus, right? We're gonna have to live with it. I think we're not gonna get herd immunity. I was reading about this recently. Apparently, we've never ever achieved herd immunity with the coronavirus.
Ever. No, they're just colds, aren't they?
Yeah. So essentially, we're gonna have to deal with it. I mean, we may get a vaccine. Mm. Like, the fastest vaccine that's ever been created was mumps. 4 years it took. Fastest ever. So we're all talking about 12 months, 18 months. They're all saying, we will get something, but it won't be 100%. And so as long as it's safe...
I think for a vaccine to work, the virus has to be quite prevalent anyway, and it's disappearing in lots of places around the world. Not here, but lots of places around the world so fast that they won't be able to use a vaccine.
That's what happened with SARS, wasn't it? It just peaked out. They didn't have enough trial candidates to test it. But I mean, I think with this, though, I mean, there's still a lot of people still got it, I think. Even if they do it, though, right? They said, this guy said, we'll get some kind of vaccine. I said, what do you mean some kind of... So I read into this article, and they were saying that it may be a case where it'll only be effective on acute problems, like people with health conditions. You won't get rid of it for people who are healthy and stuff like that. They'll still have cold and flu like that. That's fine. And then you'd have antiviral drugs. So we'll manage it, basically. We're going to manage it. It's never going to go away. We're never going to get herd immunity. So, essentially, when you think in terms of that, you think, well, we've got to open the economy then, haven't we? We've just got to get on with it. We've just got to get on with it. And you'll see how fast people start relaxing this 2-meter rule. And then that'll be the problem. And then we have a second wave, people will be ill. But I think it'll just be like the flu, like you say, but the flu without a vaccine. But it's not...
The thing, I thought the riots that were kicking off in the US, definite lack of social distancing there.
Yeah, exactly.
Events like that, I just think, you know, just don't.
You should go out
like
there, Pete, with your placard.
Yeah, 2 meters!
Clipboard, excuse me, what's your name? You are not 2 meters from that man you're punching.
Exactly.
Get him out of a headlock. No, that is not 2 meters. Out of the headlock. out of the headlock. Get that policeman out of the headlock. I know it's... But have you seen Trump's comparison between one state and another state? Yeah. One where they got, obviously, a Republican, I think, Michigan, I think it was, and he was quite, like, supporting him, saying, yeah. And then the guy now where it's happening, who's like a Democrat, he's really been, he's going to handle on this. When he said, when it starts looting, you start shooting and all this stuff, you know? Really two different versions of him. And I think... And just someone just tweeted it and put it one next to each other. So, wow, that's amazing. It's like a different, it's like a split personality, but just along publicized, you know, politicized lines, essentially. So
I think the Michigan one was down to the people protesting about opening the economy, wasn't it?
Michigan. Yeah, the one was down to the knee on the neck. It was not very nice. Yeah, that was awful. I don't see how cops would do that to any person. I was going to say in public then, but anyway, you shouldn't do it anyway. But he was in a main street, high street, yeah. Pretty much, and he had his knee on a guy's neck. And people just walking by. What's going on there? That's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. And he said, I can't breathe. It is nuts. But any thoughts, guys, this week on the stocks, shares? What, I mean, I haven't even got my portfolio open here, but what's your thoughts? Anything at all?
Asian Met had some good news out. And, I've been a long time holder, and I continue to hold. And... nice to see that kind of starting to recover, and let's hope there's a...
You're taking profits in that, haven't you?
I've de-risked, I think, yes, pretty much now, yes.
Okay. Yeah, do you know what? I was thinking that this week, actually, because it obviously went down quite far, and then it's now broken even, and they've put a stop loss in, but actually did take quite a bit out in profits a few years ago, so actually it's all right.
Yeah, but, but do you know what? I think this is a good level. I think whenever you... One of the best ways to be more successful, right, is if a stock goes into profit, right, put a stop loss at where you bought it at. You'll never lose. That's it, yep. Isn't it? If you cut that downside, so basically, always limit the downside, never limit the upside. And that's it. That's basically run your winners and cut your losers. That's what another saying is, isn't it? Like, you know, so...
You can still lose by that way, though, can't you? Because I've been caught up by that before, where the market gets
if you put on the wrong stock,
down.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's open the next day at ridiculously lower down, and then it sells out at minus, below what the stop loss was.
Yeah, but what's the worst travesty of all is actually when you're in profit nicely, you know, and the stock market will not jump down like 20% or something like that, you know. So, you know, you got, 20, 30% in small caps up, 40%, and then it drifts, and you don't do anything about it, and then all of a sudden you're in the red. That should never ever happen, you know. You should, if you're like 20% up, you should at least put, stop loss in 10% up higher or somewhere. But you can put a limit order on things like that. Can you limit stop loss, which stops gapping, selling the gap and stuff, and it'll bounce back up into that.
Yeah, well, it just won't sell them, will it?
If once it comes back up into that area, it was. So you put a stop and limit on it together, and so basically it's a band. If it gaps below that band, then it won't sell. And then if it comes back into that band, then it'll sell. So if it rises back up, you know. But it's very rare that happens, though, those kind of situations where the entire market gaps down, you know, or a lot of stocks gap down. But I'm saying if you are in profit on something, just lock it in. At least lock out a loss. Don't make sure you don't take a loss on it, you know. Because that's a way of, let's be honest, if you can stop losing, you're going to start making, aren't you? Simple as that.
Yeah.
Genius.
Take one side of the equation. But people think, they don't protect the downside. Like, protect your downside. Guys, protect your downside, yeah? You know what I'm saying?
What's happening with Crimson Tide, Justin?
No idea. I cut that again because I like it. I tell you why. Because if you guys actually start now, this afternoon, right? Started writing. How to invest in stocks, or what have I learned so far? And you start writing about things, right?
It won't take long.
But there's certain things you look at, right?
Yeah.
I like Crimson Tide. It's a software, decent revenue growth. Like I said, revenue increased by 22%, EBITDA increased by 57%, profit before tax. But again, it's small potatoes at the moment. It's like, profit before tax is $350,000. Okay, if it keeps going at 20%, that's nice. So they're going in the right direction, Pad. At the moment, it's just small, isn't it? So I don't know how big they'll get, that's all. But
what's the next milestone with them, do you think?
Well, they're a revenue-generating company. I don't know, were they doing tests with lots of expansion of future contract, indirection contract renewals, development, leading supermarkets, falling through. So they've got some big clients there. I just think they need to win more clients. They were doing Internet of IoT stuff, weren't they? And they were doing one with the second bit of news there, 4th of May, is director resignation in capitals. Why do they put it in capitals? Shouldn't do that, should they? You know, just maybe small cap, yeah. Maybe. All
keep that,
small
keep
cap.
That quiet.
Yeah, director resignation. I'm yes. off. Slam the door. significant retail rail sector. But it did say about when I was looking at this, they said the IoT Internet of Things is a thing on there. They're trialing. Was it with a big supermarket or something? I read that somewhere. I don't know where it was. They're trialing with a big supermarket. So it's going to get better. It's improving. It seems. You know, it seems to be improving.
Okay, so they're one that's been stagnating for a while. They're 20% down for me at the moment. Like. In my head, there's nowhere, I'm not, you know, I'm already sort of 22% in cash, so that would just add to my cash pile. But are they one that's worth thinking about getting rid of, or should I sit on that?
Well, do you know what? They are literally hitting their head on that 2.5 pence level, and they've been there for a while. Now, when you're going to sell a company like this, and you make a bold decision, right, be fully prepared to get some good news on it the next day, and it's
absolutely
go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now once you've priced that in,
so if I sell this, if you buy it, then if I sell it, then you'll all make money, and we can share the winnings.
Oh yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, exactly. What's the next bit of news coming out? Now, what have they said about COVID? Have they said anything about that? Is it affecting them in any way?
Well, their app's about hospital cleaners, isn't it? It's about scheduling support services in hospitals and stuff. So you would imagine it's useful.
Oh, here we are. So a large percentage of Crimson Tide's revenues are provided on a long-term contracted subscription basis with a regular cash cycle. That's what you want to see. Recurring, high levels of recurring revenue, but winning more clients. Many of the company's clients are those on the front line of public services. Yeah, they are, because most of them are, well, they were rail, in fact, but supermarkets mainly. The company has recently made COVID-19 M-Pro 5 flow available for free to all NHS workers. That's troublesome. It's nice, free, but, you know, not making money, are they? This flow can be downloaded. Comes a strong balance sheet with current positive cash balance of approximately $400,000. No debt. Safe the advisor. Before the COVID, I would say, right, they're entirely in the cloud. There are no plans for redundancies of fellow staff. It has experienced negligible disruption to normal business patterns thus far. The board is comfortable that even on the basis of a sensitised forecast, the company will remain well-funded and operational for the rest of the year and beyond. It's okay, isn't it? They're not saying we'll benefit massively from this. Do you know what? There's a little bit of effect. And do you know what? I'd sell. When in doubt, get out. Cash. No, cash is safer than equity. Full stop, you know? Isn't it? There's less risk in cash than equity. There's less, of course, there's less
are you,
upside.
Are you up or down, Pad, on that?
20% down, 22%.
Well, yeah. Where do you want to go?
Plus the fee to sell it, so, what, 25% probably?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, where do you want to go then? Do you want to go, so it's got to jump a bit. Are they going to increase by that amount to make you break even, or are you going to wait until it gets like 50% down or 40% down? So, you know,
this is why I asked. This is why I brought this to the table. This is a prime example of one of these shares that just sits there stagnating, and before I know it, it's 30% down, and then this time next year, you're having a go at me for keeping it when it's 80% down.
Yeah. Or it's Powerhouse Energy and it's 400% up.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Well, they released that thing. They say it's going to be negligible, right? So, unless they release,
so it's a company that's negligibly affected, actually a good company at the moment.
Well, yeah, but they're going to be affected because it says negligible. So they're going to be affected, and they haven't announced any.
Everyone's going to be affected.
Yeah, no, some people are affected positively. Like I said, you know, Manolet Partners and Tristel are going to be affected positively. You know,
affected, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, so positive and negative. Yeah, yeah. So I don't think they're saying there they're going to be, because they're giving it away for free. It's not going to be a positive effect on them, is it? So. Business is going to get harder for people, I think, over the next few weeks. So I just think, unless you're super sure, super smashing great, unless you're super sure, son, if in doubt, get out. Yeah? Cash is safer. Cash is king.
I mean, that means I'm selling everything. I'm not sure.
Cash is king. No, listen, get it down to the company's its probability. Do you know what? That's the point. What we're doing here, we're not sure. If you're not sure, get out. If in doubt, get out. Unless they're saying to you, we're going to rake it in during this COVID thing. That's where you want to get in. Our business levels have gone up. That's what you want. Positive statements. They don't make any positive statements. They're just saying we'll be affected and negged. They're edging towards. If you had a spectrum there, they're edging towards negative more than positive. You want a company that's going running the positive about this. So if I were you, Cassius Kingston.
Thanks, Justin.
Super smashing great.
Yeah. Look what you could have won.
400%.
And then when they release that contract, it goes out. Yeah, say, look what you could have won, Pad. Oh, you could have been on that. You're like me with Powerhouse Energy and Pant Healthcare. They shot up as soon as
they after me. Our service. Powerhouse absolutely kill me. Every time I look at them and they're down, I'm like, I should buy that now. That's a really good company. Yeah, I like the technology. They seem to be decent lads. And then the next week, they're up 75%.
Someone quoted me as saying thank you for that. The thing that got me is that when you said in the podcast or on the video or whatever, is you said, that's when you turn, base metals into gold. What's that called?
It's called alchemy.
Alchemy, yeah. So they're turning rubbish people don't want into clean fuel people want.
This can change the world.
That's alchemy. I said, at the moment, of course, we're a bit far away from business model. It'll come back, isn't it? They're not generating any cash. That share price will come back.
This is why I kick myself, because every time this happens, I'd be a millionaire by now if I invested my initial investment just in them and just rode it up and down.
Yeah, you've been killing those a lot. I know you keep saying it's down with the power, it's down with that. And I said, Pad, if you say that, though, right? It generally doesn't happen because you realise you've had probably more ideas than you thought and you can't...
But that rise, I'm not sure what it's based on. I looked briefly. I couldn't really see much news around the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't know why is that suddenly triggered?
Well, apart from... I don't know. Is there any news
out there? I don't know.
No, there's no news. Apart from... Let's have a look. Has anyone said... Powers is one of the things that does have a lot of... rumours going around and people like to spread it. I mean, of course, it's in a massive... I'm surprised they haven't mentioned why the share price has risen, we got people cross-ramping, but they're saying, this is the next company after Powerhouse. We can look on Twitter and that's real. Oh, look, it's come to be next. But
Twitter is a good barometer, I think, of kind of where my investors are thinking about. I'm not sure how much of it's true, really, some of it.
It's literally, I don't know what's going on. Either if we have some news out on this now that's significant, then, of course they won't look into it, but there's been some leakage there, isn't there? Because there's no way it should be going up with this on the news. And if they do, the company should be saying why there's no reason for the share price or whatever. They should be saying that. They haven't, though. But listen, give it a couple of weeks, Pad, all right? And I know it's a big rise, but give it a couple of weeks and it'll be back down to about two pence. It's now 3.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, guaranteed.
1.5.
Remind me then to buy some.
I mean, if you look at that, it's an obvious breakout. Look at it. I mean, look at the chart there, right? It's tried twice to get above 1.8, right? 1, 2, think about 3, 4, 5. It did it. Buy the breakout, up it goes. Boom. Cool. But listen, I liked it. Because the theme is right, isn't it? It's like Salt Lake Potash as well. Tony came on, he said it doesn't get a cleaner theme than what we're in at the moment. That, we are powered by the sun. It creates evaporation ponds and brine, which we take off, and it's to help the yield of crops. So more people on the planet have been born every day. We've got 7.7 billion population feeding, a greater expanse of middle class, countries that want nice fruits and all that stuff, which is SOPs of premium potash. He said this is in the right theme. As I invest in themes, hydrogen, I don't know if it's going to compete with electric vehicles, but there's certainly a lot of money being ploughed into it. And we know now, petrol or diesel is not the way forward. So it's either the money's going to go towards electric vehicles and hydrogen or alternative ways of... So it's in the right place, isn't it? That's all. So it's got the hype, It's there. Investing themes. That's why, to a certain extent, even if I see now... we had, do you remember a while back, years back, we went on Royal Dutch Shell? I'm not into oil and gas companies anymore because I think generally the long-term trend of that is down, you know? I mean, oil, definitely, and the gas is cleaner, but oil, the long, take years and years and years and years, I know, but just the trend is down now, isn't it? Everyone's down about it. It's not good for the environment. You know, everyone's switching off their diesel and petrol selling engines by 2040 in this country, earlier other countries. So I just think, look at themes, strong themes that are happening. And there's themes now that are being encouraged by the COVID lockdown, isn't there? So that'll, you know, accelerated themes, I think. But anyway.
Yeah.
Thematic investing. In fact, if you go on BlackRock, iShares, you know, the ETFs there, they've got a whole section adopted to that thematic mega trends that they think will be big over the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Oh, okay.
And just standing in the way of the trend, you know, getting in, right in the wave of the trend. Lovely. Anything else? Anything else? Boys, any plans for the weekend? Are you now, is lockdown finished? I almost think it is, isn't it, really?
Well, not really.
Not for me.
No,
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot more freedom now, isn't there?
Do you know what I don't understand about the lockdown is, like, in Wales, they've obviously relaxed.
Who is that guy? Who is that Welsh idiot at the top? You know, who is he? Because my father's... and so annoying.
Me?
What? No, not you, Steve. The guy in charge of Wales. There was the first minister that... He sounds sick as pig poo, to be honest. What's his name?
Yeah, but what I don't understand is when they announce these changes, but they say we're not doing it till Monday. And I'm like, why not just do it from then? I don't understand why they got to wait. Like, it's almost like you've got a really nice weekend, so you can't do anything until Monday. It's weird. Yeah,
I think with businesses,
it's to give shops some chance to prepare, isn't it?
Stock up and just to get their signage up and all that stuff, you know. But my father, it's annoying because car showrooms in England, my father owns a car sales, you know, and it's like, I'd say, 70% of the car sales he has is outdoors, you know. It's and yet they've opened plants and garden centres which are busier than car showrooms. You know, weeks before, 2 weeks ago, and I thought, well, hang on a sec. And now in Wales, and you know, so England now opened up Monday, I think it was, or last Monday. But in Wales, another 3 weeks. Thought, well, are you insane? Well, can't they just get it together? It's the United Kingdom, for heaven's sake. It's pathetic, all these little people, like Sturgeon up there, having their own bit of power. No, I'm not unlocking you. And then, no, we're unlocking now. Whatever Johnson says, we're going to do it different now. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. What do you say?
That's devolved government for you, isn't it? That's the whole point. They want their own...
Exactly.
Own,
no, I can make my own decisions on this. Regardless of scientists, we are not opening until... 2025. Sod it.
Then we've got Muppets like Johnson and Hancock.
You know what? I think they've probably got it right. It's probably England that are screwing this up.
No, but do you know what? I don't think that. No, I flipped. I think we've got to get the economy back open. There's going to be worse problems.
I think
absolutely.
We're going to have a big death toll, and you know, without being too mercenary or callous, you know, then that's not good.
No, we have to shield the people who are vulnerable to being attacked by this virus. Yes, but
everyone else needs to crack on.
For 90% of the population who are not going to be affected, they have to get back to work. Really do, and they have to be responsible though, and understand. Your actions have consequences. We could all be locked back down again if you don't careful. But that's the trouble. There's too many. The common sense policy doesn't work because people, you know, the virus doesn't give a common sense. There are people without common sense who will spread it to people with common sense. So you can't have common sense. Like I said, if you're not social distancing, we'll chop your arms off. Full stop.
But it's unfortunate when one of them is the chief advisor, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, that's all a nonsense, isn't it? But then the whole thing now, I think, is that the lockdown kind of should be lifted and it should just be social distance. So everyone's aware of it now. There's still going to be vast numbers of people that ignore it and massive gatherings. Of course, that's just unfortunately human.
That's kind of what's happening, though, isn't it?
Well, exactly. So what's the point of trying to control it? It's like we're trying to go, right, ease it. It's, what's the analogy? I can't think. But, you know, when you don't give somebody something, then they want it more. Well, it's like legalising stuff, isn't it? Legalising cannabis or whatever, and you actually probably would control it better. But anyway, or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going off on a tangent. There's so many different, rules that are silly. Like now you can have, you know, six people mixing together, but they must be... In Wales, they've got to be within five... In the local village. Local village only. If you're outside the village, you can't come in. But in England, just six people can mix. I said, oh, volleyball teams will be happy. But now you can go into people's gardens, but you can't use the toilets. Now, so Matt Lucas's tweet says, to clarify, you will be able to use the toilet if visiting a friend's garden, but you're allowed to do a poo. But no, you're not allowed to do a poo, but you're allowed to do a wee. It's that kind of silly rules, isn't it? You know, you can have number one, but not number two, sorry. That's what the Welsh minister should say. You're now allowed to go into people's houses for number one only. No, Johnson's on that. Number two only. You can't have a number one in there. Yeah.
Go wee.
Yeah. Have that in the doors, signage, number twos only. I know. Anyway. Oh. On that bombshell. Have a nice weekend, boys.
Right, okay.
Keep it locked down. Keep it safe. Keep it locked down. Speak to you next week.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.